It's you know, I obviously it hasn't been a war in the sense of we've actually had to go and fight and die, but it's been a war on everything decent. It's been a war on sanity. It's been a war on civilization thriving and existing, you know. And we can get negative. We say, "Oh, I'm so glad the old normal's gone." Okay, there were that was cute when people were saying that. Well, they closed down strip clubs. I'm glad the old normal's gone. You know, well, you know, they closed down public schools. I'm glad the old normal was gone. Well, that's cute, only as far as it goes. At a certain point, there's just a reality that what has happened is not good and it's wrong. Find silver linings and so forth. But we've lived through one of these events. We've lived through one of these events that is going to be chronicled for 100 years. And hopefully we'll learn from it. I don't know. But what's nice about reading this book is that it's written in the chronological order of what it was like living through it. And there's one point in the book where he had read Dr. Ioannidis. You've probably seen his stuff. I know that Mr. Church was woke and hip to the truth of this stuff since early on. And so was I, and that's one of the reasons why we started getting chatting so much is because we were on the same page. And Scott Atlas, you know, he says, when I discovered Dr. Ioannidis' stuff, I finally found someone who's putting out the research that was making sense of all the things I was saying at my dinner table every night and ranting about every night. And I think a lot of us has been through that. For a lot of us, it was a gut feeling. We went, this is wrong. And we started to see the problems. Well, it's a great book. Some highlights that I saw last night. One thing I want to say before I get into it, though. You know, as Christians, I've been guilty of this myself, especially as Catholics, because we're a little more somber sometimes than our Protestant brethren about our outlook on the world. I think freedom became a dirty word for us, didn't it? I know for myself it did. When your time, you know, when times are good, or when times are, when you can live a life, you know, when you're free to live your life, you really do, and it sounds cliche, like I'm going to do some, you know, Go America commercial with a bald eagle screeching over top of me carrying an American flag, which would be epic to see, let's be honest. But when you are free, meaning when you have the freedom to do what you must do, when you have the freedom to do what you have to do, when you have the freedom to do what you ought to do, which is all freedom ultimately gives you, even if you choose to use your freedom wrongly. You have to have the ability to make mistakes in order to have the ability to make the right decision. That's kind of how it goes. There is no freedom without the freedom to make bad decisions. You know, I would say as a Catholic, for example, there's no such thing as unadulterated free speech insofar as you can always say what you want without consequences. But there's also no such thing as muzzled speech. You're going to have your free will no matter what system you're under. And the only way you can stop people from saying things that they don't want to say, that you don't want them to say, is to become a monster. Let's be honest. There's this old mythological idea from the pre-Christ years, an old Jewish fable about a golem. And basically, the idea is that you become a monster by sinning. Become a monster by partaking in the economy of sin. If we try to control the minds of other men, then we become the villain. It's a perennial problem that we've always faced. But I think because times have been so good for so long, you know, we would hear about a culture war, read about it and stuff, and okay, you know, the odd person got doxxed or canceled. But let's be honest, it was an expendable, wacky guy like Alex Jones or Gavin McInnes, some guy. Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, he went too far. You see a bunch of yahoos clamoring on about freedom of speech. It's like, yeah, you just want freedom to be an idiot. Yeah, freedom of speech. That sounds fun, buddy. You're a joke. And I think for a lot of us, freedom became a dirty word. We associated it with stereotypes of cheesy country music songs. But as Pope Pius or Pope Leo XIII says, that true liberty is sacred. We don't have the chance to be saved if we don't have the freedom to choose Christ. We don't have the chance to have a real Christian marriage if we don't have the freedom to marry a spouse. Literally, when you go to the altar, if you're here on your own free will, it has to be free. Even our relationship with God himself is a relationship based on a free decision. What does St. Paul say? We are the adopted sons of God. We are not his children by birth. We're his children because he chooses us through baptism. It's a free decision. In the early church, it was a free decision to be baptized as an adult because no one was a baby, obviously, baptized when it was first starting out. Freedom is at the heart of the human drama. It's time for us to reclaim that word. Liberty should not be a dirty word. Freedom should not be a dirty word. Rights should not be something that we just leave up to the ACLU or Planned Parenthood. Just because somebody perverts a good thing doesn't mean that we should give that thing up. Same analogy, it's true for our traditions. Well, they turned Santa Claus, Coca-Cola ruined Santa. Coca-Cola did not ruin Santa. Coca-Cola's Santa, if I don't like it, can go jump in a lake. Father Christmas is a Christian folklore tradition, dang it, and I'm not going to give him up just because some idiot from a PR firm decided to turn it into a marketing grift. I'm not going to give up the good things because the liberals destroy them. I'm not going to give up the word freedom because it's been turned into licentiousness in the mind of some. True liberty is from God. And what we've seen is that we're going to have to fight for this tooth and nail. It's never going to come to us easy. It never will. And we let it slip. And Scott Atlas talks about one of the ways he realized something was wrong. He said, I began witnessing unprecedented power responses from those in power and non-scientific recommendations by public health spokespeople. Societal lockdowns, including businesses and school closures, stay-at-home restrictions. These recommendations were not just based on panic, they were responsible for generating even more panic. COVID had rapidly become the most important health policy crisis in a century. My policy book on the merits of a competition-based health system simply had to wait. That's exactly correct. They created the panic. He goes on to say that there was a ton of information that he found in Dr. Ioannidis' work. The first thing was reported case fatality rates, like the official 3.4 rate from the World Health Organization, are meaningless. Patients who have been tested for SARS-CoV-2 are disproportionately those with severe symptoms and bad outcomes. The data collected so far on how many people are infected and how the epidemic is evolving are utterly unreliable. And probably the vast majority of infections due to SARS-CoV-2 are being missed. The case fatality rate there, and he's talking about the Diamond Princess. If you remember that, that was the ship. They said the case fatality rate there was 1%. That's huge if you think about it. But this was a largely elderly population in which the death rate from COVID-19 is much higher. Projecting the Diamond Princess mortality rate onto the age structure of the U.S. population and the death rate among people infected with the virus would be 0.1. In some age groups, that would be 0.025. If you do it overall, estimates, counting in a bunch of factors, be 0.05 to 1%. That means it's the flu, folks. He goes and says, a positive test for coronavirus does not mean necessarily that this virus is always primarily responsible for a patient's demise. In some people who die from virus pathogens, more than one virus is found upon autopsy, and bacteria are often superimposed. You guys know all this information. The reason I'm saying this to you is because it's important to know that this information is becoming part of the mainstream conversation. Let's be honest. Even a lot of conservatives, you know, the neocons, they grifted this Rona thing for a while. But this conversation here is starting to become pretty mainstream. The CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, has a scathing criticism. That's pretty good, because the truth is coming out. I know it sounds like a cliche, you know, the awake crowd, that Gnostic kind of weird awake movement. Let's be honest, there's some weirdness to it. They've been talking about some sort of great awakening happening every 5 minutes, and they've been wrong the whole time. And they've overemphasized it. I'll be honest, we get tips all the time at LifeSite News about, you know, this thing's happening with the vaccine, that thing's happening with the vaccine, and 90% of the stuff we're told, it turns out to be false. Now, the 10% that is true is bad enough, but there is a lot of gullibility amongst a part of the anti-COVID crowd. And a lot of me thinks that's sort of planned or controlled opposition to make us look stupid. It's kind of like Q. But the point is that the information on its own is clear. You know, every year, according to the WHO, we have a pandemic. It's called the flu. In fact, people were getting all freaked out about the definition of pandemic changing throughout this so-called pandemic. But the reality is that I found documents as early as 2011. The WHO was just saying a pandemic is a respiratory virus epidemic that spans across a large area and moves to different countries. That's all it means.